long before my first breath brought you to your arms, is running to life from death, and I feel this rush deep in my chest. Your mercy is calling out, just as I am, you pull me in. I know I need you now. Run to the Father, fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon.
Steps are ordered by you. Give every breath I take. Only a kind God gives power to choose. So it is my privilege to say, you are the Lord. Even in trial, I can't.
Good morning. We want to welcome you to the house of the Lord this morning. We want to thank everybody for coming out to braving the cold, if you will. I would apologize for the little bit of confusion that this morning has brought, but, you know, obviously, if Tony Cavalier can't predict the weather, Teddy Dean or Sean Walker can't either. So that being said, nobody sort of expected this little bit of skiff of snow this morning. Woke up, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, left here yesterday evening, Brother Joe, and it was pure blacktop, you know, and everything was clear as a Betsy bug. But you look great. People coming out this morning, I believe everything's fine. But we want to welcome you in the name of the Lord. Thankful that you're here with us this morning. We have something good planned, Lord willing. We're going to hit on This Generation Speaks. Got three different people up here going to ask some questions a little bit, get their perspectives and their testimonies. And then, obviously, Brother Pat's going to preach this morning. And then we're going to baptize some people. Amen. I love when we have baptisms. I absolutely love baptisms. So we're going to baptize some folks. So we thank God for that, the opportunity. If you're looking in your chairs, you've probably seen them little old pieces of paper. Jeffrey asked me to, if you would, you're not going to have to share them with anybody, okay? Just a heads up. Use that and write down your own testimony is what Jeffrey wanted me to ask you guys to do. So, you know, you got an ink pen there in front of the, just whatever, during the service, write your own testimony, maybe something, or a testimony, something you're thankful to God for, whatever, and keep it to yourself, okay? So that's what that is for, as the teens are going to be leading us in worship this morning. It's related to that, but just write something down that you're thankful to God for, a little bit of testimony, kind of keep it to yourself. And speaking of testimony, I really threw Matt under the bus this morning. He had no idea until he got in his car this morning he was coming up front with us, but I sort of kind of felt led to ask him if he wanted to. He accepted, and he's going to join us here this morning in this discussion. But concerning testimonies, Matt has a testimony he'd like to share. Go ahead, brother.
I'm gonna start it off from yesterday morning. I'm not very good at remembering my dreams. So yesterday morning I woke up, was cooking breakfast, just a normal morning, you know, Saturday morning, cooking breakfast for me, the kids, and I remembered a dream that I had, and it was like a movie. So like you, in this movie, you get a glimpse of a memory, it's 2 or 3 seconds long, then it's gone. You know what I mean? In this dream, I am, what I think, am praying over somebody, speaking in tongues. But as I'm speaking in tongues, in my mind, I'm going, I'm speaking in tongues. I'm really doing this. I'm speaking in tongues. So as soon as I said that, it was like it was over. But I remembered that an hour and a half after I got home, or after I woke up. Me and Laura went to Charleston after she got off work, and we were talking about baptismals and everything else. I had some family members text me about, you know, well, text in a family group chat about times and stuff like that. So me and Laura on our way home are talking about, you know, there's times that, you know, you only have 1-2 people getting baptized, and I had talked to Teddy earlier in the day, and I think there's 4 or 5, maybe 6 today, and man, that just got me fired up. I was thinking about it. I was like, all right, when I get home, I'm going to pray, I'm going to worship, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to give it all to him, every bit of excitement that's in me. Like, I'm just going to, and then it was about 30 seconds later, I didn't feel like that was enough. So I texted Josh. And I was like, hey, man, I feel like I need to go to the church, and I feel like I need to pray. I said, would you care? Like, can we do that? He said, yeah. Do you feel like it needs to just be you or both of us? I was like, that's fine. I was like, anybody, I don't care. I was like, I just want to go to the church and pray. He said, do you want to text Teddy or you want me to? I said, I will. I was like, that's fine. So I texted Teddy. I said, hey, man, I feel like I need to go to the church and pray. I said, Josh is going to meet us there. Can we go? He said, yeah, what time do you want to go? So we set up a time when we got here. We all got in here and we started talking, and I was telling Josh about, you know, the whole day. I told Teddy about the day and wanting to pray over baptismals, lost people, like just. And I told Teddy and Josh about my dream. And they said, is that something that you're seeking? And I said, absolutely. And they said, well, we'll pray for that too. And I tell you what, once it started, I didn't want it to stop. I can't put it into words, honestly. I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost fire. Like, I can't. After I got up, you know what I mean? Like, I can't even put it into words. The feeling, express how that feeling is. And I got saved September 15th. And it's been a little bit of a roller coaster, you know what I mean? Sure. But I was saved September 15th. I've been saved before, but have never remembered the date, and have never remembered the date of my baptism. And I was baptized 2 days later on September 15th. And I tell you what, I'll never go back.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But I want Matt to share that because, one, testimonies are good, and we like to give God the praise for that. And the Lord's really moving in the church, and he's moving in the lives of people and families and things of that nature. And sort of what we're going to talk about this morning is a pretty common word that we use here at the church, and I wish every Christian used this term more than we all do. In other words, we all come up short, Brother Terry. But discipleship, and discipleship is so important. And I say, you know, I know you guys probably heard me say this before, but more important now than at any other time in my life for a couple reasons. One, I'm older. When you're older, you got more days behind you than you got in front of you. And that's just the truth, amen? And on top of that is, you know, I look out in the world and I see what's going on in the world, and I know the coming of the Lord is soon, Brother Terry. And on top of that, I see a world, Brother Joe, that people, our society, if you will, has gotten into the habit of calling good evil and evil good. In a lot of ways, a lot of circles and stuff of that nature. So I know it's so important that the church be on fire for the Lord and be telling other people about Jesus. It's really that simple. And I have found, and just through time and experience, that, look, ain't nobody perfect. As Matt said, ain't nobody perfect. Okay, ain't nobody got it all together. Somebody tells you they got it all together, they're lying to you. Plain simple. Nobody got it all together. We all in the struggle bus together, okay? That being said, I'm a firm believer that the more confident, Brother Josh, you are in your walk with God, the more you're going to witness to people, the more you're going to share the gospel. Okay, so that means we need to grow a little bit. We need to be discipled and things of that nature. And so we're really big on discipleship here, and that's really kind of what we're going to talk about this morning, discipleship specifically through groups. Okay, now that being said, I absolutely believe that there's multiple, many, many ways for discipleship, and Sunday school being one of them is a great, great way. You can have friends, Christian friends, you just kind of share back and forth, share scripture. There's so many ways for discipleships, but I really want to focus a little bit on groups, and these people up here with me this morning are participating in groups and have for a while, this one specifically, for a while, as long as I have been, she has been. And you know, we asked Matt to share his testimony because God's doing something in his life, Brother Joe. And, you know, Lisa, it's important that people understand what God wants for them and everything God has for them. So we're going to talk a little bit about discipleship through groups, Terry, because is that the main reason God's moving like this? No, I don't believe that. God moves when people get hungry for God. When we set things aside, Brother Joe, and we make him a priority in our lives. Amen? But I also believe that discipleship must be intentional. In other words, it just don't happen. You got to set a plan. You got to do it. okay? And when you, if you really want to grow, first of all, you got to have a vision. Without a vision, the people perish. Amen. And as Brother Dave shared on Wednesday night, just a little bit, and he's going to get more into it in our group on Wednesday night, about a vision for yourself. In other words, I know you've probably heard it, what's your 5-year plan, your 10-year plan, or whatever. As a Christian, in 2 years, where do I hope to be in the Lord? This time next year, where do I hope to be in the Lord? And things of that nature. And so it's important to have that, Brother Joe, to just have that perspective and be intentional about it. And so when we're talking about groups, I know some people may not even know what groups are. Maybe they've heard of it, and they've probably seen the video that I do and put on Facebook, or see an advertisement, and they just kind of, okay, whatever. But what are they, specifically? And, one thing, I'm just going to read just a little bit of scripture, then we'll get to the questions. They're not some newfangled trend. Let me go ahead and say that. I got Bible to back it up, too, matter of fact. I'm going to read it. They're not some new idea that's come up with some new age church, okay? Groups are real, and groups are good because it's about people. You connect to people, okay, and you connect to God. And if you do those two things, you're going to grow. It's amazing, the things that we've seen in groups, and we'll share that a little bit, but I believe without a shadow of a doubt, if you'll be intentional in your walk with God, you'll grow. But if you just go like a kite in a breeze, this time next year, you'll be in the same boat you're in now. I truly believe that. I truly believe that. Discipleship is intentional. Growth is intentional, wanting to grow. It should be natural, but you've got to make the decision, Brother Joe. You want to be in the good soil, and you want watered and things of that nature. But how is groups biblical? Because I said, I want you to know that it's not some newfangled trend. And you guys look beautiful, by the way. It's a good crowd for a cold day. But I'm going to read just a few scriptures from 3 different spots in the Bible, just real quick to get to what we're talking about. In Acts chapter 2, verse 46 and 47, it says this, "And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily as should be saved." So, in other words, they broke bread, Pat, from house to house. Okay? Next verse is chapter 5, verse 42. "And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." So daily in the houses they were teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. And the last scripture I'm going to is Acts 20, verse 17 through 20. It says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I come into Asia, after what manner I had been with you all season, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." So I think you kind of get the point of the house to house point. Is groups biblical? Yes. Why is it biblical? Because, can I tell you something? The day we are blessed that we come across the concrete bridge and we pulled onto an asphalt parking lot and every one of us walked in, what is it, 10 degrees outside? Ain't none of us sitting in these chairs with Eskimo coats on because we got a nice heated building with a nice padded chair you're sitting on. We are blessed to be in a nice sanctuary that God has blessed us with. That being said, the early church did not have church buildings. The only thing there was Jewish synagogues or pagan temples. So they were required to go house to house. Make sense? And when they went house to house, ready for this? I don't know about you guys, but my living room can only hold so many people. Has anybody got the same situation I got? You can only put so many people in there, Brother Joe, comfortably. And that's just it. So what happens is the more people start getting saved and the more discipleship's taking place, it might have started in my house, Brother Joe. You're going to have to take some to your house. You're going to have to lead one. Leanne, you're going to have to do it in your house. Lisa, you're going to have to do it in your house. And that's how it started. And guess what? Ready for this? The largest growth in the history of the church happened during that period of time. When the power of the Holy Spirit was untapped, traditions and religious institutions hadn't sprouted yet, People were just hungry for God, and they was going from house to house in small groups, and they were growing, leaping, and praising God. And now we are here today, blessed to have this the church, but we've gotten away from what got it to where it was supposed to be. Groups are that. That is what groups are. A place for you to connect with your brothers and sisters. If you're going through something, they're there with you. You can share. You can share ideas. Iron sharpens iron. You need prayer, you can have prayer. All those things, but you're growing. You're being intentional about it. And that's what we want to talk a little bit this morning about, is just a few questions related to groups. And I'm going to ask these individuals just to share their testimonies, their experiences. Okay, so first of all, I'm going to ask Tara. Tara, how long have you been involved with attending and leading groups?
I've been doing it as long as you have, I guess. We were actually leading groups before we even knew that there was a small group kind of model. We've led groups probably about 14 or 15 years. And then we came to Mallory. We were leading them before we came to Mallory. When we came to Mallory, we kind of started seeing the model of small groups, and we just kind of jumped into it. It was an opportunity to learn and to minister and to be ministered to in a lot of cases. So we've just kind of it's kind of like a niche, and we really enjoy doing that small group atmosphere. Plus, I'm not really a speaker in front of people, so being in that small group helps me a whole lot because it gives me an opportunity to be myself and not feel nervous or judged. And I really enjoy that kind of, you know, atmosphere.
And to second her, I've been teaching here to church for, I don't know, 11, 12 years, however long, 13 years, preaching a little bit less than that. And this is the very first time she's ever joined me, Brother Joe. Very first time she's ever joined me in anything here to church up on in a teaching capacity, because I know it's not her thing, so to speak. You know what I mean? Like she said, she gets nervous and stuff. Although she is a very good public speaker, I don't know why she is so bothered by that. But, you know, still. But like she said, in that environment, you can just kind of relax and be yourself. You know what I mean? And she does wonderful. Josh, how about you, brother? You know, how long you been attending groups and stuff like that?
I've done a couple, you know, I don't know, probably 15 or so. I remember one with Randy. Mm-hmm. And, but I actually got, like, in-depth into them this past year when I come back and work with you guys. Yeah. And now I'm co-leading one, me and my wife with Ted and Tara. I don't think it's no coincidence that Jesus picked one. Because, I mean, you look at Jesus through the Gospels, and you look at Peter and John and everybody that followed him, and you can see that there was a relationship. Like, it was more than just somebody that they were working with, so to speak. Yeah. And somebody that you actually, like last night, yeah. Matt texted me. I had just got home from a wedding, by the way, and like we had just walked through the door and my phone goes off. And Kayla said, "Who's that?" I said, "It's Matt." She said, "What's Matt want?" I said, "I don't know yet."
Haven't read it.
But whatever we're doing, okay. Like, but which me and Matt go back into high school. That's
freshman year.
I consider Matt my best friend. I mean, we've done a little bit of everything together, but just through groups, like, that's been edified.
Yeah.
With not just Matt, with Emily, and just within my marriage with my wife, we found a new relationship with the things that's going on in groups that helps us at the house.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know, man. I love it.
You love it. Amen. And Josh brought up, you know, Jesus, the 12, you know, as far as biblical. I didn't draw that comparison. I wanted to read scripture. But, you know, Jesus, here you had the Son of God coming to this world, and he picked 12 people, Pat. And we know one of them was a devil. Judas, you know what I mean? So he had 11 good men to work with. Let's put it that way. He had 11 good, but he started with 11. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, from the day his ministry started when he was 30 years old, he starts with 11. I'll say 12, but, you know, one of them didn't work out too good. So basically he started with 11, so to speak. And by the time you get to the end of his ministry, 3.5 years later, you're getting to the end of his ministry, and then his death, burial, resurrection, and then his ascension, and there's 120 people gathered together in the upper room. So it goes from 11 or 12 to 120. And then from 120, it just continues to grow and continues to grow. So he set the model, like Josh just said, of what we need to do. Why? Because we need to take individual time with people. Matt, how long you been doing groups, and what's your experience in that way?
I haven't been doing groups very long. The first one that I ever did was the Recover Your Calling.
Yeah.
Which
that was last time.
Yeah, that was the last cycle of groups that that happened. But with me being the last man, it kind of sounds like I'm going off of everybody else. But it's made everything stronger. It makes the walk easier. It makes obeying a whole lot easier. You get the community to be able to also help you in your journey while you're also maybe helping somebody else that you don't know what's going on that maybe they may need help.
Sure.
But groups is really big on me, for I have that not just coming on Sundays. You
yes.
know what I mean? I look forward to Wednesday nights. Like being able to be like, man, I get to go to church. I wake up Wednesday morning and I'm like, all I gotta do is get through work. All I gotta do is get through work. And I'll get home, be able to go to church.
Yeah.
But it helps you learn and grow, but also learn to obey when he says to move.
Amen. So whether you've been doing it as long as Tara and I, or Josh, or pretty new like Matt, it works. You have a place. The Lord will minister to you and you'll grow. Tara, the next question is this. Have you been able to meet new people or other people in groups? And if so, how does the setting help you as far as connecting with them?
I feel like the setting itself kind of just creates I can't think of the word, but you're able to actually connect to the people you're talking to. A lot of times when we're in corporate, church setting, we sit in our seats. We have, even if we don't have an assigned seat, we have an assigned seat. You sit in your seat, you come and you worship, but you receive the word, but you don't really get to talk about it in that time, as the question comes in your head, as somebody's speaking or teaching. It allows a opportunity for discussion, and the discussion can go from one thing in our groups. They can go from one thing to the other real fast, and it's always really, really good, because you want to know that you're heard, and you want to know that you're seen, and you want to, as a person, I want to make people feel that way. As we go through life in general, we're always just in a busy hurry, just going here and going there, doing this, doing that. But when you sit down in small groups, you actually get time to get to know people.
Yeah.
I mean, I've known Josh since he was about 7 or 8 years old playing football, cheering him on from the stands, But now I know Josh as an adult, as a husband, as a dad, as a Christian, and as a minister, and I get to know him on a whole new level. And it's so good, because it's the growing of it. You meet as, what would you say?
Acquaintances,
and you develop friendships that, even age can't really put a stop to.
Yeah. And speaking of that, Matt, let me ask you a question. To go off what Tara just said, as far as like being able to discuss things, have you ever been in groups before to where maybe you had a question or you had a thought or whatever, and before you could ask it, somebody else brought it up, or touched on it to where it kind of opened the door to where you could just, you felt more comfortable saying, hey, yeah, I had that too. Has that ever happened to you before?
Absolutely. Like, it's not just, you find that in groups you have like questions and common thoughts, and sometimes the Lord's using you to try and get you to ask that question before someone else.
Yeah.
But if you don't do it, he's going to work on the one that needs it. Be like, you know what? I need to know this answer.
Yeah.
But absolutely, and I've had hard times too of where I'm like, you know what? That sounds like a very easy question to be answered, but I don't know why I'm not understanding this.
Sure.
And it was 2 days later in this group, I was talking to Laura about something, and I was like, is this saying this? And she's like, I don't know, send it. And I was like, I'll reread it, and I'll kind of work on it, try and work on it.
Sure.
And then I can't remember if it was, I can't remember who sent it.
Yeah.
But they asked the question, I think it was a day or two later. And I was like, man, that's awesome. But yeah, common questions between each other is very common.
Yeah.
And it helps each other because, like I said, some people don't have that voice to actually say something.
Amen.
So you may be the one that needs to ask the question, not for you, not for your understanding, but for somebody else.
Amen. Well said. That and going by what he said, Josh, let me ask you this. As far as like the scripture goes, okay, I know there are some people that struggle with understanding the Bible. Does groups help in that way, from your experience?
I believe, you know, and y'all have heard me teach and preach, so if I get fired up, just roll with me. I love this word. It's holy because it's true.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I'm the head of the house. Yeah. My wife will come to me with questions that she has. Matt will text back and forth with me and you when I don't understand something. But groups gives the opportunity for people who are right on the verge of understanding what they're reading. And they just need that little push. And, you know, they're right there and the Lord's already worked on them and they're this close. And then somebody says one word and the light bulb goes off.
The aha moment. The aha moment. Yes, absolutely.
Groups, something I love about groups, it gives the opportunity that I'm not Pentecostal and somebody else is not Baptist or Methodist. We're just people.
Amen.
We're not a denomination or a certain way of thinking or anything else. You dive in the Word.
That's right.
And make a common knowledge, you know, come to a conclusion thing that, hey, this is what this means.
That's the Scripture. Let Scripture speak for itself.
Yes. And I love that about groups.
Amen. Tara, in what ways have you grown, in what ways have you experienced spiritual growth in groups? In what ways in your time has groups helped you grow spiritually in the Lord?
For me, probably being connected to the Word. Because, when you know, we say this all the time, you know, what you put in is what's going to come out. And when you're reading the Word and you're putting that into you, you may not think you'll ever use it, but then you find yourself in a small group setting, and then you begin to minister and talk to somebody. And it's amazing how little old me, who I don't feel like I can retain anything I read, I'm able to pull it out, and I feel like that's the Holy Spirit just leading me. And I was talking to a young lady, and we were talking about speaking. And I'm a wing it kind of person. Everybody thinks I have a plan, you know, and I do have a plan, but I never stay on that plan.
She's a wing it.
I'm a wing it kind of person.
She's a wing it.
But what I prefer to say is, in these kind of situations, I read, I prepare. I may not know what direction the Lord's going to go, but I've done my part, and he'll fill my mouth. And that's where it's built my faith in that. And
trusting in God.
Yes. And it's helped me to operate in ministry in ways that I don't always get to operate.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure. So. Yeah, what about you, spiritual growth? How's it help you grow spiritually in the Lord?
Have you seen the last year?
Well, that's obvious. Yeah, that's an obvious.
But it's one thing I love about group, you know, other than the topics and then people just getting to just enjoy some time together, you know.
Yeah, sure.
It's the prayer.
Yeah.
Like, you know, people take prayer requests like in Sunday school, pray at the end of service or something like that, but when you get around and you just get obedient for a minute,
yeah,
everybody sure. will start opening up a little bit
yeah.
about a trouble or something that they're seeking after or something like that.
Family issue, yeah. whatever they got going that they want special prayer about.
And then
yeah.
just letting the Lord move
sure.
in a prayer. Like that, I can't tell you how many times we went home like that's normally what group room with you guys. And I get up at 4:30 every morning to go to work. And me and Kayla ain't going to bed till like 1 o'clock because I can't. I'm like sitting in the bed. Because you know, we've had such, just a good time. Man.
Yeah.
That's one aspect that I love of group.
Amen. How's it help you spiritually grow up in such a short period of time?
Well, I mean, last night's a pretty good example for me. But
just understanding that to get there, as far as that goes, as well.
Worship.
There you go. I love that.
Worship and gathering. A lot of people can say, "I can believe in the Lord without going to church."
Oh, okay.
You can. Absolutely, you can believe in the Lord. But if you want to grow with the Lord, you need to be in the community that is willing to help you grow. Worshiping, praying, gathering together, the gather, grow, and go, like that has helped me a lot too.
Yeah.
'Cause we're gathering together, we're growing together, and then we're using what the Lord is giving us mm-hmm. to go and bring more people to it.
Amen. Well said.
And that's mine, honestly. Spiritually, is worship and prayer. That is a big thing because it brings you to him.
Yeah.
Brings you into his presence so that he can work on you, so that you can then work on others.
Amen. Well said. Josh, you brought up just a while ago, I'll start with you on this one. You brought up the, as far as like the prayer and things of that nature. Name some things you've witnessed, maybe how the Spirit has moved in groups. You know, maybe some of the things, you know, not really sharing names. We don't want no names. But, you know, in what ways have you seen God, other than like Matt just said, about the growth and worship and understanding Scripture and things like that, you know, in what ways have you seen the Holy Spirit move in groups at times?
We've been blessed.
Yeah.
Because we have seen so much. I won't use her name, but a woman that comes here, her and her husband, that we love, got saved in my living room on a Sunday night,
yep.
surrendered and gave her life to the Lord, and on Tuesday evening came up here and was baptized in the Holy Ghost 2 days after she got saved. And Tara beat it out of me in groups one night.
I was patting his back. Maybe a little hard.
But,
I got excited.
But to just, man, people being delivered, people being healed, like.
Families restored.
Yeah. And I mean, you can just watch like a relationship between a husband and a wife or just friends.
Yeah.
I mean, go from here to here in a few short minutes of prayer with that.
Sure.
And I mean, you know, we give God all the glory for it, but
Amen.
It's just, I love being a part of it.
Amen.
Getting to see him move.
Amen. Tara, what about you? I know you got a little bit longer resume there. So in what ways have you seen the Holy Spirit move in groups?
It's Something we have always tried to do when we do groups is have a focus. And usually that would be somebody that the Lord lays on our hearts within that group. Somebody in their family, it could be somebody in that group. And we would, at that circle prayer, we would have that focus prayer. And through those prayers, we've seen women, I guess you could say, submit to their husbands in the way that the Bible speaks of, and it just restored their marriage. And we've seen a young lady who had went through a miscarriage, and she was struggling to just wanting a baby. Mm-hmm. And before our group was over, she was pregnant with her baby. We've seen so many baptized in the Holy Ghost. We've seen, we've seen healings. We've seen people. I don't know. It's just amazing because you don't know from one time to the next what's going to take place.
Because
it's
God, so good. Because God is able to do all things exceedingly abundantly.
Yes. You just, when you come in, you don't come in with the lack of expectation. Have an expectation because God's going to show up. Mm-hmm.
And in our lives, I think often because we live in such a busy world, maybe is why. I know I've shared this before here, about a spirit of busyness that I feel is upon this country. There's a spirit of busyness upon the United States of America where everybody's so busy, 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 but ain't nobody getting nothing done. You know what I'm talking about? You work all day. You got to come home. Got to do this. Got to do that. I didn't get it all done before I go to bed. All those things. There's a spirit of busyness. You know what I mean? Even though we got technology that's supposed to make our lives easier, we've become busy as a result. You know what I mean? And I think because of that, we want to schedule everything in, Tammy. We want to jot it on our calendar from this period of time to that period of time. And I'm gonna do this for half an hour. Then I'm gonna do this for 15 minutes, and we kind of schedule our lives out because of that. But when you allow God to have His time and you get off of that calendar, that's when I think God moves. When you put Him first and you walk in faith and you do those things, and then you don't try to schedule Him in, when you start having prayer and you just say, look, Lord, what would you have? What do you want? And you know, one specific thing that I want to add to what Tara said that I've seen as well is there's been times that some people have come and had lost loved ones that they wanted us to pray about. During the course of this we will, you have a lost loved one, whether a child or a spouse or a friend, a neighbor, a parent, whatever. And what we do is we focus, Terry, all during that group. And we'll pray, obviously, that night, but we're going to focus and we're going to pray for that. And we've seen people give their lives to the Lord. We've seen people get saved. We've
seen people delivered.
Absolutely. And so God does those things when we get off of our timeline and get more onto Him. Matt, what have you seen spiritual Holy Spirit do in groups?
Deliverances, chains being broken, things that have held people back a very, very long time. Just broken like it was never there. Like things that they've actually struggled with for 10, 12, 15 years from the past is just like gone. Being able to break away from society. I can say that. Break away from society to focus more on the Lord, on their journey. And it may be, a little here, a little bit there, but that little bit here and there will then start to be a ministry. Like it can grow to be so much more. But it starts with those littles, with those little here's and there's, so that it can continue to grow.
Amen. Very well said. Tara, I'm going to ask you a question here. Because we've talked about, the Holy Spirit moving. We've talked about growth as far as the discipleship taking place of the Word. being able to connect with other people as well. You know, you build friendships and bonds and stuff like that. And like you said, you know, Matt felt like he needed prayer last night, and he reached out to Josh, you know what I mean, who was, they reconnected their friendship. It was already there, been there forever, but it allowed them an opportunity to the friendship kind of got reignited. Well, he needed prayer. Who did he reach out to? Josh, you know what I mean? And so, you know, you thank God for that. But Tara, that being said, we've talked about those things. Not that it has to get emotional, not that anybody has to get emotional in groups, but do you ever see people get emotional in groups? And if so, how is that handled as far as, you know, do they feel embarrassed or anything like that?
I feel like anytime you're with somebody or with a group of people and they feel safe enough to just open up about things. Sometimes it could just be sparked by what are those things called? The icebreakers. I feel like they'll either make you laugh or make you cry. And you learn so much about somebody, and you learn what to zone in on and pray for that person. But yeah, there's a lot of emotion. You have the brokenness, just discussing things that we've been through, or then we have the laughing, you know, joking around. But then you have the seriousness and the holiness of the word. Yes. And when you are in a vulnerable state like that, when you can laugh and cry, you're going to be receptive to the word. It opens up, it just kind of opens up your heart to receive the word. So emotion is a lot to do with it, but don't misconstrue the emotion that it brings.
Yes.
It's the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That's bringing that emotion. Amen. And it's really, really good.
Yeah. I've always said this, the emotion will not bring the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit will bring emotion. That's the difference. You know what I mean? I don't think crying brings the Holy Spirit. But when you're in the Holy Spirit, you may cry, you may shout, you may laugh, all those things. And we laugh a lot. I love laughing. And I'm one of those people, if I find out something about you, I'm going to needle you a little bit about it. You know, I've always been one of those people. But I do love to laugh. And you know, during that, you know, as far as, you know, the emotions, if you're not an emotional person, you don't want to share nothing, you don't have to. Ain't no pressure on you. You know what I mean? No big deal. Nobody's going to make you do nothing.
That's a good part.
It's a safe place.
It's safe. You don't have to speak. I mean, you can say pass. I don't want to answer that question.
Sure.
Or you can search yourself and come up with an answer.
Yep.
It's just freedom to,
freedom.
To do what feels right at that time.
Yep. Josh, we're starting to lose time here, but if you could give anybody your age advice about groups, what would it be?
Come open.
I'm open.
Jesus wept.
Yeah.
We miss sight of that a lot, especially, you know, men.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to cry.
Yeah.
Y'all have all heard me talk about that. But, I mean, like you said, when the Spirit starts moving, what's it do you any good to sit there and puff up?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You're just robbing yourself. You're not going to get to experience God in the way that He wants to move you.
Yeah, yeah.
Just go ahead and let Him do what He wants to do.
Yeah. I often say this, you know, sometimes we as people, we can shut heaven up over our head. And what we do by that, what I mean by that, whether it's a denominational belief or a tradition or anything like that, we shut heaven off over our head. In other words, I don't understand it, so God can't do it. Are we really making God that small? I believe God's bigger than I am. You know what I mean? I need to, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I think we can do that often a lot of times. Oh, I love this. This is wonderful. But Matt, real quick, if you was talking to somebody at work and you was going to try and explain to them as groups, would you, you know, what would you say? Would you encourage them to do it?
So where I work, you kind of have to be a little bit straightforward. You got to try it. So many people get different experiences from groups.
Yeah.
Some, like you said, it's an emotional thing. Some is like an eye-opening thing. And then I would tell them, like, you just have to come and you have to try it. It's so comforting. Like, things that you never thought about,
And they're not leaning, like in groups, they're not leaning towards to try and bring stuff up. But the stuff that's holding you back personally is the stuff that's going to hold you back spiritually.
Absolutely.
And you have to be able to break away and break those chains so that you can grow spiritually in the Lord and Amen. Be able to pass it on to other people.
Amen. Last question. We'll finish this thing up. Man, I love this. This is wonderful today. Praise God for it. Tara, in short, is groups ministry?
It is absolutely ministry. I can look out and see people who lead groups and operate in groups, and I can see their ministry is not just staying in that group. It's a discipleship to prepare you to go out equipped to do what God has for you to do. It absolutely is ministry.
Discipleship through relationships, using groups as an example. We want to encourage you that even if you can't come to groups here at Mallory Church of God, or you've never done them, well, if you've never done them, try them, first off. But if it's not here, you need to have your tribe, folks. You need to have your trusted people around you, Brother Joe. Iron sharpens iron, all those things. That's how you're going to grow. And if you really want to grow in the Lord, you really want to get close, Brother Ray, you have to be intentional about it. It don't just happen. In other words, discipleship through relationships, you make a plan and it will happen. So we want to encourage you, and we want to welcome everybody that's here this morning. We thank God for your time. We thank God that you've traveled on this day to come and be with us. It looks like we're going to have a great crowd. We want you to be in prayer for the service. We want to welcome you here at Mallory Church of God, and we want to encourage you. Look, you can be everything God wants you to be. You don't have to put a cap on it. All you got to do is just let Him be God. Amen? Okay, we're done.